You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
We're going to continue in our impact series today. And today we're going to be talking about a king named Josiah. And it has been fun going through the impact series, of going through the process of are these people that you've ever heard about? And we wanted to find people that are little known characters in the Bible on purpose. If I quizzed a bunch of Christians and I asked them to name three kings that were in the Old Testament, most people could pull off, they could say, well, they would go King David. I've got King David. And they would go, and then there was a dude who really hated him before David. And someone would be like, Saul. And they'd be like, yeah, I got Saul. And then David had a son who was like the wisest person, the richest person. And he wrote a really boring and really depressing like emo book called Ecclesiastes. And they're like, oh yeah, Solomon. And so you're like, oh, okay. So we got David, we got Saul, we got Solomon. And then I would say, hey, do you guys know who King Josiah was? And most Christians would go, no, man, nobody's ever preached on Josiah. What I want you guys to know about is that even though I'm going to teach a little bit on Josiah, Josiah is not the character I'm really concerned about in the story. To me, there are some other rock star characters that have very important supporting roles. Like if we were to do the Oscars after this sermon, we would go best supporting godly person in a place of advising the king, and we would give that award away. Don't just get stuck on Josiah. Josiah is the entry into the story. Josiah is the entry into seeing all the impact that's going on. But before we jump into Josiah, let me set the scene for you. Let me kind of tell you where the political climate is inside of Israel. Let me tell you about what Josiah is inheriting as a leader. And some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, Pastor Nathan just started preaching about America and the coming vote that we have in November. Yes, but I've got a very important lesson I want to help you guys out with. Nobody elected this November is going to save us. Nobody. I don't care if they put hope on a banner. They're not going to save us. It is God Almighty who needs to be in charge of us. And what we have going on inside of this political climate is Josiah comes into a time for 65 years. Israel and the nation of Israel have been led by terrible leaders. Israel, which was set apart for God, that God said, I want you guys to be holy. I want you to be mine. I want you to be different than everybody else, had two successive kings that were insanely wicked, and they pointed Israel to anything and everything but God. That's our society today in America. Some of you guys who are studiers of American history will understand our society today is no different than 1790. In 1790, leading into the 1800s, the church was declining. People were no longer going to church. People were no longer educated in the gospel. People didn't understand the Bible. America, in all intents and purposes, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, was godless and seeking after the American dream. America had just come off of a great winning streak, a freedom, a time of prosperity, a time of greatness, and we don't need God anymore. In fact, there was a poll taken at a university that was established to teach people about God. By the way, those are called Ivy League schools today in America. Think about that. Princeton University and Yale University did a survey, and they tried to find somebody on campus who believed that God was real. At one of the universities, the highest number they found of somebody who was willing to admit that they were a Christian was 5. 5. At a university that was established to teach people how to be teachers of the gospel. 5. But what happened was in their wickedness and in their grossness in the 1790s into the 1800s, Americans got out of control. Alcohol was out of control. Rape was out of control. Violence was out of control. Wealth was out of control. Poverty was out of control. In other words, all the markers that we have right now in America, we're just repeating. We just have the internet now. And this is the situation that Josiah comes into. Josiah comes into a situation where his grandfather basically decided we're no longer going to use the temple for God worship. We're going to bring in all paganism and all grossness and all worship of other gods, and we're going to bring it into the temple. And not only are we going to bring it into the temple, we're going to take everything in the temple and take it out, and we're going to put in what we want to put in. Many of you guys, that's your home. You think you have a Christian home, but the reality is all you've done is you've put the name Christian over all your pagan artifacts that you've brought into your home. Somebody say preach. It may hurt. Does it hurt? It's true. It's true. Our idea of manifest destiny, our idea of retirement, our idea of the great things now, that's not God. That's Madison Avenue selling you a lie, and we have bought it hook, line, and sinker. That's no different than this time period. After Josiah's grandfather comes in, Josiah's father comes in and makes it even worse. Josiah's father was such a horrible king, they killed him. You guys know people don't kill amazing kings? They want that one to stay in place. They will protect that one and want it to make sure that that king stays and is established. In this situation, Israel is in an interesting climate. Egypt is pushing north towards Israel and putting more troops into the area that Josiah is in charge of. Syria, north of Israel, they call and ask the Egyptians, will you send troops to us? Israel has an Egyptian army march through their territory to go up to Syria to protect Syria. Babylon is falling apart over to the east. And they decide that they're no longer going to be part of the Persian Empire, and the Persian Empire breaks apart. And Babylon decides that it's going to be independent. And then you have the Medes to the north who now want to push into Syria. And so you have massive conflict, and everybody's trying to get theirs. Does that sound like America? Everybody trying to get theirs? Me first? I've got to get mine. I don't care about my neighbor as long as I'm okay. Sorry, I'm going to be super brutal. I'm going to get a pay raise on the backs of somebody else's pain. Doesn't that sound like America? As long as it doesn't impact me, I don't care. I don't care. Hurt the people who are poor. Hurt the people who are trying to strive. As long as me and my family pay our bills, we're okay. That is not the gospel. And if you have bought into it, hook, line, and sinker in this city, you are a sinner. And you need to repent. But the problem is that you're not the only sinner in this room. You're not the only person who needs to repent in this room. We all need to repent because we all get duped constantly and consistently on a regular basis. And the idea of being a Christian is to understand when you've been duped. It's not that you won't be duped. That's the holiness movement. The holiness movement preaches that once you come to Christ, and if you do enough scripture, and if you're connected to God, you will never be duped because you will be sinless. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get drafted into the holiness movement. That's not my life. My life is I constantly touch things I shouldn't touch. I think things I shouldn't think, and I want to go places I should never be. Anybody else like me? Oh, and I struggle with lying. So if someone asks me that question, I go, no, it's not me. Josiah comes into a place of what in the world am I going to do? I mean, you want to talk about somebody who comes into it and doesn't feel equipped, doesn't feel enabled, doesn't feel ready, doesn't feel like they're smart enough, tall enough, good enough. You know, that's what this world teaches you. Oh, if you were only a man, as Taylor Swift sings, then you could do all these things. Man, I'm singing with Taylor Swift. I want to be a man. I'm like, Taylor, I want that too. It would make my life so much easier if I was a man. Let me help you guys out. Life is hard for everybody. Don't let another group lie to you and tell you that, oh, it's easier for you because of. No. It's hard for everybody uniquely. And Josiah comes into a spot where it's incredibly painful. Point number one, simple impact. That's what I'm trying to teach you guys, simple impact. Most of the time, we in churches, we want to think great. We want to think big. We want to think gigantic so that we don't ever do it. But man, we talked about it. And boy, we feel good. I want you guys to understand in our church, we're just going to do simple impact. We're going to do simple acts of disobedience to America. We're not going to buy the lie. When someone tries to pitch us the lie, we're going to go, nah, you can't convince me, I'm sorry. And we're going to be disobedient to what they want us to do. Point number one, simple impact can happen at any age, male or female. Simple impact can happen at any age, male or female. I want to press this in incredibly hard. For years in the Christian church, women have been oppressed. They have been told, you can't do things because you're a woman. Then they oppress because of age. You can't do something because you're not old enough. Then they oppress because you're not married. You're single, but you're not married, so apparently you're not trustworthy. So you can't be in ministry because you're not married. The Christian church has constantly, constantly oppressed the people inside of it. To whose glory? Ask yourself, some of you guys grew up in the church. Who was glorified by your oppression? And I want to help you guys out. Everybody was oppressed. I'll give you the simple answer. The celebrity pastor was glorified. Let that sink in. You see, we don't need any more celebrity pastors. We just need Jesus. Amen? We don't need any more celebrity musicians. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen? But what we want is what the world has, and that's why Israel has a king. You see, God raises up Israel, and he says, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to protect you. I want to care for you. I'm going to be enough for you. And Israel starts going through life, and they start looking around, and they're like, yeah, but that group has a king, and that group has a king. Can't we have a king? And God goes, you don't want a king. A king will be selfish. A king will abuse you. A king will seek more power than a king is supposed to have. God doesn't say this. I'm saying this. The king will come take your wife, and he'll kill you. The king will come take your money. The king will come take your donkey. The king will come take your kid and take your kid to war. You don't want a king. And Israel said, we want a king. And God goes, you know what? I'm going to give you the type of king you deserve. Now, some of you guys, you hate our current president. I hate to tell you this. Apparently, you weren't paying attention the 8 years before we got this one. And apparently, you weren't paying attention the 8 years before we got that one. And apparently, you weren't paying attention the 8 years before we got that one. And apparently, you weren't paying attention the 4 years before we got that one. And apparently, you weren't paying attention. You guys get what I'm trying to say? You don't want a king. But you call out for a king, don't you? God is saying, you don't want a celebrity pastor, you want me. And you go, I want a celebrity pastor. I want a pastor that dresses great, looks great, smells great, speaks great. I want a celebrity worship team. I want to go to the throne zone. I want to raise my hands. I want a keyboard player in the back just to bring the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit can't come in unless there's a keyboard playing, pads. Spirit, come. Spirit, come. Spirit, you're here. Oh, you're here. Bass player, did you not know the Spirit's here? Oh, now, oh, bass players, oh, the Spirit's here. Oh, Spirit's here. Drummer's still not paying attention, doesn't know the Spirit's here. Keyboard player's padding going. The music director is looking at the drummer like, you got to come in or God can't do something in this church. And then the drummer finally figures it out, but only with their right foot. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, God's here. And we're like, God's here. Oh. And someone's in the back like, he can't be here. The lights are on. I mean, when we go to a concert, the lights aren't on at a concert. It's like dark. I mean, I got to be able to hold up my phone and like do the light thing at some point in time because they don't let us have lighters anymore. You guys get what I'm trying to say? We want to be like the world. And boy, do we try to be like the world, don't we? God, I want a king. God says, you don't want a king. You already have a king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the one that came and died for you. And he came lowly, and you rejected him. You didn't like him. I'm going to tell you something right now, guys. If Jesus walked in today, I would reject him. Let me help you out. So would you. Because he wouldn't come the way you'd want him to. See how selfish we are? And here we have Josiah coming into the world. We're going to jump into the scriptures, 2 Kings 22, 1 through 20. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years old. Come on, moms. Come on, moms. Notice it does not say Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign and he first declared ice cream for all at all times. And diabetes came over the entire nation. That's not what scripture says. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. Let me publicly say this. I love our nursery, but I love our kids being educated because one day they might be in charge at 8 years old. Think about it. What have you been teaching them? What have you been putting into them that mommy can do everything and you don't have to do anything? 8 years old. You can go through scripture constantly, and there are children all across scripture that God decides to use. But we as a Christian church say, no, you cannot be used until you're 40, married, and at least tithing a lot of money. Right? Isn't that what we do as a church? Brutal, right? Brutal, but it's true, and we've got to face it. Josiah comes into a situation where the church has gone so far away from where it's supposed to be. And Josiah, at 8 years old, becomes in charge. He's in charge of what his grandpa did. He's in charge of what his dad did, and he's 8. And he reigned for 31 years. You see, verses 1 through 2 are giving an overview of Josiah's life. It's literally saying, this is Josiah and what he did, and then it's going to tell us what Josiah did. He reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adoniah, and I can't say that last one, Bozkoth, whatever. Verse 2, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. Now, when I first read that, I'm like, David's not his dad. His dad was the king before, and his dad, and literally I read in the scripture, and he walked in the way of the mentor who should have done what he should have done. In other words, Josiah decides, that ain't my dad. That's my dad. Some of you guys, you were raised in some really horrible families. And when we say that God is your father, you can't connect it. When we say God is your father, you connect your earthly father to God, and you get angry at God. And what I want you guys to understand is, God is the father you should have had. Let that process in your head. To my own kids, God is the father you should have had. I'm going to do the best job that I can do, but God is a better father than I will ever be. And Josiah had to learn that. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So in some ways, he didn't do like David. Think about that for those of you guys who've studied. Josiah does better than David. And if I asked you, do you know who King Josiah is? You're like, no. Because in our church, we want to tell you about David. He danced. He wrote psalms. He did all these things with lions and rocks. And he got lost lots of times. Josiah doesn't turn. And he starts at 8. Can we just give a praise to his mom, Jedidiah? What type of a mother did she have to be so this 8-year-old king wasn't corrupted? How powerful is the Holy Spirit that this kid wasn't corrupted? Do you guys see it? Point number 2. Simple impact starts with discovery. Now I want you guys to understand, discovery means maintenance. Discovery is not fun. When you learn what's wrong, it's not enjoyable, right? When somebody comes to you and tells you that something's wrong, aren't you like me? Don't you get defensive? When somebody comes to you and says, hey, you didn't follow through on what you were supposed to do, you're like, well, you know, there were some things that happened, and there was some stuff, and there was snow on Halloween, and it was cold. That's why I didn't follow through and do it. In our church, we have a statement called touch the white fence. Touch the white fence basically means, did you complete the task? Not interested in your excuses. It's a yes or no question. Did you do it? Simple impact starts with discovery. Josiah, he's in charge, and he goes through the process. And there's a story in verses 3 up through 7 of what goes on. Josiah learns that the temple is in disrepair. The temple has cracks. The temple has no paint. The temple doors don't close correctly. I'm having fun for a while, okay? The pews are a little wobbly. In other words, disrepair has come upon the temple, and the temple of the Lord is not being taken care of for 65 years. And Josiah says this. He says, this is what I want to do. Now here, I want you guys to understand something. Josiah doesn't lay out a 15-year plan on how to accomplish everything he wants to do. Let me help you guys out. That's another way of buying into the worldview of this world. To lie that you're going to have a 5-year plan. Do you realize nobody's 5-year plan actually works? Except for that one company that keeps talking about their 5-year plan. And so out of the millions of companies, it worked for 5. So the rest of us should do it. That's not what Josiah comes up with. He doesn't come up with the plan of the way we're going to completely transition all of Israel back to God. Josiah starts simple. He goes to the temple and he goes, it needs paint. He goes to the temple and he goes, the cobwebs need to be taken out. He goes to the temple and he goes, we need better places to sit. He goes to the temple and he goes, the doors need to open and close. He goes to the temple and he goes, that rock right there needs to be fixed. It needs to be smooth. We don't want people tripping. Let's take care of this. And he goes to his leaders and he says this, I want you to start taxing and do a temple tax, and I want you to bring in money. But then he does something radical. He says this, give the money to the carpenters and to the workmen to do the work of the building, and I don't want to know what they did with the money. I don't want any receipts. I don't want any coverage of the money. These people are trustworthy. Give them the money. Let them do it. When was the last time in America we've ever said, this person's trustworthy, give them what they need, let them have it? We have to put things in place. We have to have policies and procedures. We have to have oversight. We have to have a council. We have to have red tape because the world has red tape. Do you see how we're trying to be like the world? When you find somebody who's of character and who has skill and who has ability to serve the king, let them do it. Don't make it hard on them. You guys who've been in this church, you've worked for me. You've watched my leadership style over the last year, 8 years. How hard do I make it for you to minister? I free you up as much as I possibly can. Yes, I require some mean things. Show up on Monday and on Sundays. And occasionally, once every 2.5 years, have a lunch meeting with me. Oh, he's oppressive. You have not been anywhere. Okay? What I want you guys to understand is simple discovery starts with figuring out what's going on. Now, don't just think about the temple. Think about your own life. Think about the areas in your life that are in disrepair. Think about your stinking thinking. Think about the things that your hands touch. Think about the things that your eyes see. Think about the words that your mouth says. Think about where you find yourself in proximity. What maintenance do you need to do? And the other thing is when you go into your counselor or your therapist or your pastor or your mentor or your leader, don't tell them what to do with you. Show up and go, you're in charge. What do we need to do? That's what Josiah did. Josiah went to the artsmen, to the craftsmen, to everything else and said, I'm king, but you guys are skilled. How about you guys be in charge of building this? Have you seen really rich people try to get involved in things? One of my favorite football teams is run by an interesting owner. I will not name names. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Some of you guys are not into sports. An amazing businessman, a horrible organizer of talent. If you look in sports and you look at the teams that win, it's an amazing organization of talent, isn't it? Some of you guys who just watched the World Series with the Nationals. Yes, that's what it was. Years ago, I watched the San Francisco Giants win it with a team that never should have been there. Sorry, Chelsea. Every single year, the Patriots win it, and they shouldn't. But they do. They have an amazing player, an amazing coach, and a cast of supporting actors like you cannot believe. Wow. Verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said, Shishaphan, the secretary. So they go in to work on the temple. They start moving around. They start going through all these pagan artifacts. And because there's children in the room and I have no idea who will listen to this podcast, I will not tell you how phallic and grotesque and how Playboy Mansion the temple was. But that's what it was. And they started going through it and they started cleaning out and they started fixing it and started moving out the old. And they went to a storeroom. This is me talking. And they found the stuff that had been saved. Like they found a closet and they were like, we're going to take all of God's stuff and put it in there and we're going to close it because we don't want to see it. We don't want to deal with it. We want to do all of our stuff out here, but we don't want to see God. Isn't that how we are as humans? I know that when I walk into parties and stuff like that, people are like, the pastor's here. Man, let's wait till he gets put in the closet and then we can bring out the fun stuff. Some of you guys, you don't read your Bible. You want to keep it in the closet because you want to keep doing the fun stuff. You don't want to deal with the reality of what you need to deal with. So you don't read the Word of God. But instead, you put music on your ears that tells you to have multiple sexual relationships with people who you're not married to, who aren't committed to you. They tell you to drink and to party and to spend money and to consume and to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow will you die. Nothing new is underneath the sun. And then you wonder why your life is where it's at. Because you've been putting this information in. Guess what you're outputting? I had a conversation earlier this week with someone. And I was like, man, you need to listen to more Christian music. I get it. It sucks. It's not as good. I didn't realize Kanye was about to drop Jesus Walks. But I was like, it's not good. But at least it puts into your head what is good. Because the other music is amazing. And yes, it has sick beats. But it puts into your brain disinformation and it brainwashes you and puts you into a worldview that you believe. Sorry. So we have verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now let's just pause for a second. If you're like type A and you're super like, man, precise, I'm going to mess up all these people's names. If you would like to come up and fix them for me, you are more than welcome to stand here. But let's just give me grace because I'm about to go through some crazy names, okay? And I don't have the of which you need to say a Middle Eastern name. So just let's just all have fun for a while, okay? So Shaphan comes in and says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Go figure. What would you do with the book? You read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house, and we've delivered it into the hand of the workmen and to have oversight over the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, we've got some problems. You've got a spiritual priest position that didn't even know there was a book. You've got a king of Israel, which is God's people, that didn't know there was a book. And you've got a secretary that's got to tell the king, we found a book. Now, our translations are bad. It's not a book, it's a scroll. They found the scroll. In other words, somebody had the foresight, Holy Spirit, to take the scroll and put it in a place where it would be safe, God Almighty, so that when somebody was ready to hear the truth, they could be changed. Feel like our God's powerful? But God, why did you let the temple get into disrepair? God, why did you allow 65 years of pain? When my people humble themselves and call upon my name, I'll heal their land. Maybe we're not humble. Maybe we're not calling upon and actually asking for what we need. Maybe we like the land the way that it is. Let that sink in. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, whenever you see a biblical character rip their clothing, it's grief. It's saying, I can't be in this spot. It's not okay. This is not the place for me. He rips his clothing. At this point in time, he's probably 16 or 20 years old. And the truth is brought to him. And he realizes, oh dang. And he rips his clothes. Probably they read the whole book to him. It probably took all day. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, why would you want someone to read a book to you all day? Let me help you out. It's probably around 620 BC before Netflix. So it's not like Josiah had a lot to go do. He's like, hey, can you bring in that shadow puppet dude again? I loved it. When he was like doing the dog thing on the wall. Oh man. And then he did like the peacock. Can we do that again? Josiah more than likely sat inside of the throne room and listen to the word of God being read to him. When was the last time you spent an entire day hearing the word of God? When was the last time you spent an hour hearing the word of God? One of the fun things I like to tell people is there's this cool Bible app where they'll actually read the word of God to you. Like you can press play on the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Anybody else in here hate reading like me? I hate reading, but I love listening. Press play on the Bible. The other day I got bored, and I know it sounds kind of funny, pastor got bored. I was like, let's listen to Colossians and Philippians. That could be fun. And somebody else read it. My eyes weren't tired. My mouth wasn't dry. I just listened to it. I was like, that was so amazing. What an amazing time we're in. And he listens to the entire Bible, it's probably the scroll of Deuteronomy being read to him. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, son of Shaphan, and Anchor, the son of Micah, whatever, and Shaphan the secretary. And I know this one. This one's like Isaiah, but it was an A, so it's Azaiah. That's pretty easy. So Azaiah, the king's servant, saying, verse 13, go inquire to the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Chicago, does that apply to us? But you say to me, it wasn't me. Couldn't Josiah say it wasn't me? But God put Josiah in a place to intercede on behalf. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, we're all interceders now because Christ died and he stands in between the Father and he's empowered all of us to be able to go to him at any point in time and to pray for forgiveness and to ask for things that we now are the priesthood of believers and we don't have to wait anymore. Nathan, we don't have to wait for a king. I know that, but they did. So let's find out how they handled it. He says, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Point number one, simple impact can happen at any age, male or female, with an 8-year-old or a 20-year-old. Simple impact starts with discovery, with maintenance, of realize what's in disrepair, what needs to change. Simple impact restores. Simple impact restores. Now let me help you guys out with restores and what I mean by restores. This is the way of life. It's pretty simple. I really hope you actually have a pen and you actually take these notes. This isn't something I want you just to put into your head. I want this to be something that you have in your life for the rest of your life. This is the way that life works. There is order, there is disorder, and then there is reorder. Where are you at in your life? If you're in order, praise God. Guess what's coming? Disorder. If you're in disorder, you want to go back the way that it was, right? That's not what God wants to do with you. He wants to take you forward to where he wants you to go. And most Christians struggle going forward. We want to go back. We want to go back to the way it was. The 1950s. Oh, I know I have some older people in the room and they can laugh at me for a second. The 1950s were so amazing. There were no problems in the 1950s, except mass racism, massive oppression of women, an incredible amount of abuse to small children, an insane alcoholism that swept the land because of the 1940s and the post-traumatic stress disorder that our military men came back with and all the pain that they had. The massive rampant abuse of sex outside of wedlock in children that were born to fathers that never fathered them. Oh, the 1950s were good. Can we just go back to that time? No. No. They didn't have the internet. Simple impact restores. I get it. Your life was so ordered before this problem came. I get it. What you want to do is go back to that order, and you're working against God. God is saying, I want to move you forward into reorder. And you're like, no, God, I want to go back to the way we were sinning. And God is saying, that's not my plan for you. My plan has always been to take this earth in creation that I made in order, that sin came into and there was disorder. I sent my son Jesus so that I could reorder it and you could be with me in eternity in the next life. That's when you guys, like, if you're sort of like alive, you go, amen. Like, it's amazing. He's preaching good. Like, really intense. We probably should give him another 5 weeks off and he'll preach good again. Do you guys understand order, disorder, reorder? Do you understand how you work against it? Simple impact restores. God is in the restoration business. God is in the reordering business. If you are in disorder, it is God who's going to bring you into reorder. It's not a politician. It is God who's going to bring you into reorder. It's not your pastor. It is God who's going to bring you into reorder. It's not your spouse. If you just put all that pressure on your spouse, if my spouse would just get it together, then our life would be great. No, you're still there. Order, disorder, reorder. God is trying to reorder your life. Aren't you fighting him like me? God's like, no, I want to bring you into this, we call it leveling up in our church. I want to level you up and I want to bring you into this new place. And I'm like, no, I just finally realized how to do this one. Can I just take a break? God, can't I just do a spiritual vacation for like 40 years? Point number four, simple impact requires a touch, a thought, or an emotion. It's a starting point. It's a place of realizing that I see what's going on. It's not okay. Seeing in your own life, recognizing places where you've not touched the white fence, that God has asked you, would you please do this? And you had all great intentions, but let that point come again. Let that movement get you going again. A starting point and a place. Josiah was told, here are the problems. He heard the law. He didn't go, well, there's nothing we can do. 65 years of culture to change it. Do you realize how hard that is? Do you know the best way to change 65 years of culture? Be an oppressive dictator and kill people. Do you know the hardest way to change culture? The way Josiah does it. Simple impact requires a touch, a thought, an emotion, a starting point. You might be somebody who loves to touch things with your hand. You see a piece of trash. You know there's a trash problem inside of Chicago. Don't feel like you have to be this big, huge nonprofit that's going to get 700 volunteers, that's going to be this big event, that's going to do all this stuff. Pick up the first piece of trash you see and throw it away. A thought, you think about this process. Put that thought into action. Start moving it forward. Take that thought to God. Go, God, you want me to do something with this? An emotion. Some of you guys, you need to cry and weep and tear your clothes before God on behalf of your family, on behalf of your neighborhood, on behalf of your city, on behalf of your state, on behalf of your nation, on behalf of your world. We're going to have no clothes. Some of you guys, God has given you a heart on purpose to be broken for the nations. Cry with your face on the ground. Weep and ask God to do something different. But have the courage to pick up that one piece of trash and throw it away. So Hilkiah the priest, Achiman, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah, that was the easy one, went to Hadla, the prophetess. Man, guys, get some easy names. The wife of Shallum, the son of, we'll just call him T, and son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. She now lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter. Let me help you guys out. At this exact same time, there are three other functioning prophets who are working inside of, and I would call them the prophets who wrote letters that are in your book. That's not who Josiah sends them to. Josiah sends them to this prophetess, and he wants them to go to her because he knows I'm going to get the truth from her. Not that he wouldn't get it from the other guys, but what I want you guys to know, there's no person in the story of God that's placed in there by accident. Hudla is the wife of another man who's in charge of the clothes that the king wears. And Josiah says, send them to her to find out what I should do. Don't you think Mama was there with Josiah? Don't you think Mama had told Josiah about Hudla? Don't you think Mama had let him know that that's a woman of God and you can trust her and she stands for the king and what she says is true and she will not lead you wrong? Don't you think Mom got in there and Josiah knew who that woman was? And so he sends his leaders and his court and his entourage to her and says, we just heard the book of the law and we know that we are not doing what the book said. Ask her what we should do. So they go. And she, please, women in this church, men in this church, highlight the word she. Circle the word she. She spoke to the king on behalf of God. I'm going to sit there for a little bit. I am sick and tired of working in a chauvinistic group of men who are so insecure that they can't be around women. But women, let me bring down the thunder smack on you right now. Don't get out of control and don't get stupid. Ladies, did I hear an amen? Because you've seen it, haven't you? Let me tell you something right now. Men are wicked and so are women. Don't they both need God Almighty? But if we take a whole group and say you can't serve the king, all you can do is every once in a while get up and give a testimony. You can be in charge of the kids. You can parent. One of the things that I realized as a young man early on when they were telling me that a woman can't teach a man because they go to the Pauline scripture, I sat there and thought that I would be stupid because my mom taught me so much. And my mom was female. I don't know if you guys know that, but when I use the word mom, I'm talking about a woman. And I thought how dumb that would be in my life to jettison such an important woman. And then I go to this story. Josiah's mom taught him. He was king at 8, and Josiah's mom taught him. Josiah, that's not what we do. I know your dad was crazy. I know your dad was one of the wickedest kings that has ever lived, but I want you to know that's not who we are. Josiah, that's not what we do. Josiah was trained, and he goes to Hudla. She says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me. Tell the man. Did you notice God did not say tell the king? God did not say tell the king. God said tell the man. Tell the man who sent you to me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants and all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Notice they know it's the king of Judah, but tell the man. Because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands, therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. but to the king Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent. Let me start underlining, start circling, start. There's a way to get out of pain, guys. Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord. You ripped your clothes, you grieved, you put your face on the ground, you embarrassed yourself in front of everybody else that was in the room, but you didn't care about them because they are not in charge of your future. They are not your hope. They are not your well-being. When you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes, and you have wept before me, and I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, behold, I will gather to you your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. That's a fun message to take back. But I want you guys to understand the dynamics. The dynamics are that think about how amazing of a wife that Hulda had to be to her husband, that God would bless her with the power and authority that she has and the respect that she has. In other words, it wasn't that her husband was a pushover because he was in charge of the wardrobe. That's not the issue. Her husband was an amazing leader in his own right, but his husband, understand, this is what God has for my wife, and I'm going to let her be who God made her to be and who she's supposed to be. And clearly, she knew that God was still through him, and he was still in charge of her, even though she had the role that she had. There's two obedient people. Amazing, right? Some of you guys are like, man, maybe he should have waited 6 more weeks to preach. He's excited. Guys, ladies, men, women, kids, the unborn that are still in this room, serve the king, amen? Be who he made you to be, amen? Our king does not mess up with the gifts that he gives. It's the people who are jealous of the gifts that mess things up. It's the people who are lustful that there's a gift that somebody else has that I wish I had it. Prideful. Oh, I have this gift. I'm the only one who gets to do it. I have set the example inside of this church. I let you guys do things that I am better than you at. Why? Because God has gifted you, and our job is to build up the body of Christ so that in the fullness of everything that we do, we might, through humility, build up the bride into full maturity so that it honors God. That's the goal. Somebody read Ephesians. Therefore, behold, I will gather to you your fathers. In other words, because you, Josiah, have repented, you're not going to feel the wrath. Some of us in this room are experiencing the wrath of Chicago. Can we admit that this city has been gross for hundreds of years? Can we admit that the bloody Valentine story, the gangsters of the city, the brutality, the violence that has been in the city forever is not honoring to God? Maybe some of us today need to repent. Maybe some of us need to tear our clothes and say, God, I am so sorry for what this city is, and I'm sorry that I keep trying to get mine. I'm sorry that I keep asking for more money. I'm sorry that I keep asking for a bigger home. I'm sorry that I ask for a bigger car. I'm sorry that I ask for bigger kids. I'm sorry that I asked for it. You guys get what I'm trying to say? We have bought into the consumer mentality of Chicago. I've bought into it. I joke with the ladies' Bible study that my biggest sin issue in Chicago is jackets from Costco. My wife is nodding her head. So that was way too quick. I love jackets. I do. I love jackets. They're fun. Somebody bought me an almost jacket. It's called a vest. It's like 50% of a jacket. Like, I don't know why you would do that. You're like missing arms. That's dumb. And it doesn't cost half. Don't get me going there. What I want you guys to understand is, point number 5, simple impact grows with encouragement and community. Josiah needed community. Josiah needed help. He sent his group out to go. He went to Hedla, who he knew he would get the truth from. He needed community to support what he was going to do. He's like, I think this is really wrong. Isn't this wrong? And she said, yeah, this is wrong. Point number six, simple impact thrives with godly follow through. That's action. Josiah didn't just read the words and think, okay, I'm just going to not do anything with it. He sent out his entourage. Then it goes to Hedla. Hedla affirms what's going on. And when we go into chapter 23, he institutes the changes. Josiah goes out and he starts tearing down pagan altars. He starts destroying things that destroy people. And he starts instituting the things that build people up. Think about it here in Chicago. What do we need to destroy? Can we all agree we need to destroy racism? Can we all agree that we need to destroy segregation? Because in this city, segregation goes through race, it goes through sex, it goes through class, it goes through massive amounts of area that divides everybody in so many ways that nobody can actually rise up and change something. But there is one who can rise up and change things. It's Jesus Christ. There is one that can rise up and change things. It's the Holy Spirit. But you know what Jesus and the Holy Spirit need? Are people who are willing to admit we need God. That's it. You can say to me, Nathan, I don't have enough. Josiah didn't have enough. He was 8. Nathan, I don't know what to do. Josiah didn't know what to do. He was 20. Nathan, if I make these changes, people are going to be really upset. They killed his dad. Josiah was going to possibly be killed for what he was going to go do. But one of the things that I've learned in life, and some of you guys know this, is they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to make fun of you, and they're going to tear you down if you're doing what's wrong. And they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to challenge you, and they're going to make fun of you, and they're going to tear you down if you do what's right. How about we just do what's right? Because either way, we're still going to get the same treatment. Review this. Simple impact can happen at any age. Amen? With male or female. Amen? Simple impact starts with discovery, realizing what's wrong. Simple impact restores. It has order, it goes to disorder, and it goes to reorder. Let's let God reorder our lives. Simple impact requires touch, a thought, or emotion, a starting point, an impetus to get going. Simple impact grows with encouragement, with community, people being around you. Simple impact thrives with godly follow-through. So let's look at the shape. I got a lot of them to go through. You see all the characters? Achim and Abkor, they're basically just servants. They're inside of, they're the ones who serve the king. And so that's basically their process. But don't you see all of these people inside of this story? Their shape is to be obedient servants of God. Couldn't I just put the word servant all the way down? Look at the different characters in different places of where you're at. Are you the high priest? Are you a Christian? Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be in the place of position and you're not doing what you're supposed to do? But once he found out what he was supposed to do, once he found the book, once there was discovery, what did he do? He's like, let's do this. Let's read it all day. And they reinstitute it and they put it all back together. Shaphan, the secretary, helped organize all the stuff that's going on. He led the delegation, probably knew where the house was, walking into the house. Akbor, they're part of the different military and positions and places. If they went along with it, so would other families. You have Isaiah, the king's servant, the person who's right next to the king, making sure the king is handled. His right-hand person went with him to make sure it was true. Some of you guys have a best friend, a best buddy who needs to walk through things with you in community. Hudla, she's a prophetess. She doesn't get to write a book. But she has some of the most amazing impact in Israel, like you can't believe. The other dudes who wrote the book, they were like, you guys got to change and repent. They were like, no, we'll kill you. Hudla says to the king, we got to change things. He's like, okay, I would go with not writing a book. And then we have Hudla's husband, Shalom. What a cool dude. Babe, you connect to God. You make sure that you're connecting to God. Whatever it takes for you to connect to God, that's what we're going to do. You be who God made you to be. She's like, yeah, but some of the stuff I have to say, people don't like. He's like, they don't like you when you say positive stuff. How about you say what God tells you to say? You guys get what I'm trying to say? Be who God made you to be. So here's our application. Michael preached for 3 hours last Sunday, so I'm trying to catch up. Application. What have you allowed into the temple of God that needs to be removed? Let me help you out. This is the temple. Everybody, touch your chest. This is the temple. This is the temple. This is where God Almighty dwells. You are the dwelling place of God Almighty. Some of you guys, you need to figure out that you left stuff in here in the temple. Some of you guys need to know you let something in here in the temple. What have you allowed in the temple that God needs to be removed? There was order. There's currently disorder. What does God need to reorder? What belief systems have you set up in your mind and your heart that need to be restored? The longer I'm a Christian, I realize that my sinfulness isn't in my hands and in my mouth. It's in my head. It's in my heart. This is where I'm incredibly wicked. And many of you guys are in that same place. What systems need to be reordered inside of you? So we're going to go through a prayer of restoration. I'm going to invite our worship team up. Come on up here. Hopefully the keyboard starts playing. Get the Holy Spirit in here. Maybe the bass player's paying attention and he knows, oh, we're going to get this going. And the drummer can use his right foot. Since we don't have those things, we'll use our team.
Sorry.
Psalm 51:12. Some of you guys need to start writing these down. And this needs to be your verse this week. God, I don't have joy. I've lost my joy. I'm missing my joy. I am in pain, God, and I need my joy to be restored. God, there is disorder in my heart. I need my joy to come back. God, would you please restore my joy? I used to be joyful. I used to be happy. I used to be loving, and now I am wicked, and I am evil, and I'm vicious, and I am poisonous. God, restore my joy. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody need their joy restored? Some of you guys need to ask us, there was a time where you were connected to God and you were close to God. You could hear God and God spoke to you. You heard his words, but you haven't heard him in a while. Some of you, you've never heard God's word and you're wondering, is this God thing true? You need to ask God to restore himself to you. God, would you please restore yourself to me? Some of you guys, you've gone through this process again. You're older. You're Grandma Madge. You need to do it again and again and again and again. Grandma Madge, amen? You've lost your joy. You've gained it back. You've lost your joy. You've gained it back. You've lost your joy. You've gained it back. You've been disordered and God has reordered you. You don't finish until he calls you home. Some of us need to pray, God, restore us again. Amen? Somebody in this room starts smiling. Our God wants to do these things. You and I don't. God wants to restore us again. Some of Psalms 126:4. God, restore our fortunes. Some of you guys, you're looking at your bank account. Some of you guys, you're looking at your job. And some of you guys are looking for physical, earthly answers to a spiritual problem. How about you go back to your God and you say, God, would you please restore our fortunes? Our storehouses are getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. 2 weeks ago, I got a bill for $4,000 for our property tax because our loving city of Chicago loves the tax. Anybody experienced that in here? $4,000. I just looked up to God like, I don't have this. I felt the pressure. I'll Uber. I'll work at Home Depot. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And my God said clearly to me, stop going to physical answers. And I had to repent. I set the bill down on my desk and faced it up towards God. And I was like, God, this is your bill. You're going to have to pay it. I don't know how you're going to do it. You've done it before. But I get so untrusting. I get so scared. I get so worried. Anybody else? Anybody else? And I forget, God, that you're good. And I go into, I've got to control it. I've got to make it happen. And God's like, that's not how I designed you. And that's not how he designed our church. He designed our church to get on our knees and to ask for help. Some of you guys ask God for help to restore your fortunes. Amen? Isaiah 38:16, restore our health. Anybody in here need to have their health restored? Basically, anybody been coughing like me since August? No, I'm serious. Raise your hands. Anybody been coughing like me since August? Don't we need our lungs restored? God says, pray about anything and everything. Come to me and ask. And we're about to come to a point where you get to ask. And I'm going to let you pray whatever you want to pray. Maybe you're going to go through all of them. Do it. God's not like, pick one. God wants to do all these things. Here's the last one I want you guys to look at. Lamentations 5:21. Restore us to yourself. God, restore us to you. This is an intercessory prayer, not just praying for me. It's praying for our church. It's not just praying for our church. It's praying for our community. It's not just praying for our community. It's praying for our state. It's praying all the way up to our world. God, restore us to you. Oh, Lord, that we may be restored. Some of us need to pray that we would be restored so that we can be restored. Double restoration. I need it. When anxiety comes in, when fear comes in, when anger comes in, when worry comes in, when pain comes in, when guilt or shame comes in, I need to be restored because I have been disordered. Renew our days as of old. Now let me help you out with as of old. I want to go Genesis chapter 1, 2, and a little bit almost to 3. Before the fall. Restore us back to that creation that was good. Amen? Restore us back to what you made us to be. Amen? Some of you guys, maybe you're not in love with your spouse. Ask God to restore your love for your spouse. Some of you guys, you hate the city. Maybe you need to have your love restored back for the city again. I don't know what it is. I'm completely opening it up. I'd like you to stand with me and let's pray. And let's ask God to restore what he needs to restore. Amen? Heavenly Father, you are good. Heavenly Father, I want to stay in order. I lose my mind when I am in disorder. And God, I am rarely wise enough to choose the correct solution when I need your help. Great King, through the power of your Holy Spirit, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross, and death was conquered. Because you are a loving God. Because you are a generous King. I'm asking God that you would restore us to you. That you would restore our church. That God, you would restore our fortunes. But God, let me be very real. Would you please restore our city? The death and the violence and the greed and the anger and the pain that is in this city, God, has to make you so frustrated. God, may I tear my emotions. May I rip my thoughts that I benefit from most of the pain that's in this city. And so do we in this room. Help, great King. Come, great King. Heal our bodies, heal our minds, and heal our thoughts. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. And may we find things that are lost that will change our community. Amen.